that's number 12. Why don't we sing that together? Number 12. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, O God. Hallelujah.
Father, we're so grateful that we could be in your presence again tonight and worship you. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll just move any scales from our eyes, any anxiety from our hearts, any stray thoughts from our minds. We want to see Jesus. And, Lord, we pray, God, that you will so move by the Holy Spirit in our midst. Oh, great King, be manifested in our midst. Be exalted and magnified. The one who has saved our souls, the one who has rescued us and redeemed us. Oh, God, we pray, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll have all of our attention tonight. That the glorious one will be preeminent, be center of our attention tonight. We ask this, O Lord, in your precious name. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to magnify the Lord tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And just every meeting's an opportunity for us to be touched and receive more of the Lord. If we open our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, just breathe in on me. Come to me. Meet me, Lord. I mentioned that I grew up in church. I gave my heart to the Lord as a 10-year-old, and I really gave my heart to Him. And He really met me in such a real way. But when you give your heart to the Lord, He doesn't say to you, you're going to have to do 125,000 meetings. You know? And there came a time when I was just tired of meetings. We went to meetings Sunday morning. We went to meetings Sunday night. And when we started at the Kingsbury Pentecostal Church, we found out there was a Monday night prayer meeting. And then if you happened to be off, there was a Thursday morning prayer meeting, which my mother thought would be good to go to. A Saturday youth meeting. That was okay. You won prizes and things. So that was okay. But Sunday, there was Sunday morning and Sunday night. And, you know, I remember a time when I got to the point where it was like just another meeting. And I was missing the fact that we had an opportunity to meet with Jesus. But of course I heard the pastor say that, and a different one testify. But it wasn't until I opened my heart and said, Lord, I'm here for you. Come to me and meet me. That meetings took on a different, whole different meaning, right? Because He comes, and He strengthens us. And He blesses us, and His very presence is everything. So let's look for the King tonight. Why don't we sing together number 9? Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to what? Sing Thy praise. And it just gets better and better, this song. Number 9. Can I invite you to stand with me, and let's sing this.
Here I raise my ever knee.
safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
You know, I hate to give in commentary on every hymn, but if something means a lot to you, you can't help but express it. Amen?
Amen.
And I learned a long time ago, never just sing a hymn. I love to hear harmonies. I can't harmonize. I try. But I love to hear harmonies. And there are times, it doesn't happen a whole lot in the chapel, but when I visit churches, and particularly at camp, you'll hear beautiful harmonies. And that's right out of heaven. Unless you're not thinking about what you're singing. Then it's just good harmonies, right? And I learned a long time ago that if we're going to sing these hymns, God's got something to say to us.
Amen.
And it's not just a meeting filler. You know, throw the hymnal out if that's all it is. Oh, you know, we've got to sing a couple of hymns. If that's all it is, folks, then we're just playing a game, aren't we? Right? We're doing church. And I don't know. In the Bible, I don't ever see the Lord saying, "Doeth thou church daily," and include a hymn. So I learned a long time ago that when I sing these hymns, I take in every word. So, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise." We need the Holy Spirit's help, even to worship him, don't we? Don't we? It's form or habit or it's tradition or it's our style. It can become all of that unless the Holy Spirit comes and moves in through us, that we might exalt our King as he's to be exalted. He goes on, he says, "Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." And I love this part. "Teach me some melodious sonnet. For years in church, I never knew what a melodious sonnet was." You know? I thought, well, that must be a German word or something. I don't get it. But the Holy Ghost can give you a song. Have you ever received a song from the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Have you ever? Is that not wonderful? I got you all standing, but that's good for you. It's going to be a long meeting. But, you know, I remember one time I was fixing and repairing a window on my mother's house, going through some things. So I'm fixing the window and I'm thinking a lot of things. And I'm saying, "Lord, I don't have an answer. I don't have a resolve." And God gave me a song. The psalmist talks about songs of deliverance. So it's an awesome thing when he gives you German word sonnet. Right? And it's right from the Holy Spirit because there's deliverance there. "He to rescue me from danger," the second verse, the last lines which we just sang, "to rescue me from danger." Let me ask you one more question. Has anyone here ever been rescued? Physically rescued? I have. Nearly drowned and rescued. And I'll tell you, the feeling that I felt when I finally got on the beach is indescribable. It's that way when we sing the song and we realize that Christ got a hold of us. When there's so many lost, fellow students, friends, unsaved loved ones, co-workers, who you speak to and they don't know Jesus, and you wonder, how dark can darkness be? Why don't they get this? I often come back saying, "How in the world did you ever get a hold of me?" That where, "God, I know you. He rescued us from danger, didn't he?" See, pretty powerful song. The author himself didn't know how powerful this song was till God rescued him the second time. So let's sing that third verse, and then let's just celebrate our great and wonderful Savior, shall we?
"Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to
seated and let's sing that first verse again.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, offer songs of loudest praise. Jesus, O melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain, face upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Hallelujah, oh, we praise thee. Hallelujah.
We praise thee, O God, we praise thee. Hallelujah. Jesus, oh, we worship you, our God, we worship you. Lord our God, we praise thee. Be lifted up, O King. Reign, O Lord Jesus, you reign. Hallelujah. Reign on it. Come on.
I'm
anything about this fire falling on the altar? Anybody experience that? Anybody in this room? Anyone? I'm looking for. I'm searching. I'm seeking. Does anybody know what they have? Have you ever, anybody experienced that? The fire falling upon the altar, and what does it say? And my heart was set aflame. Is there one soul here? One soul, anybody? Then you know, why are we singing this song? Come on. Is somebody here must know what, have experienced the fire of the Holy Spirit falling on you? I'm trying to stir you up. There's someone. Good.
That happened to me in Richmond.
Okay.
And we always used to have prayer after the meeting. And some went to the altar, and I was kneeling by my chair. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me.
Praise
and
the Lord.
It was so wonderful. It, you know, it was such a change in my life.
Praise God.
My heart, it was cleansed, and His love was so poured in my heart, I could love everybody.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I was ready to leave the meeting. I was ready. Brother Paul, I was ready to just, you know, I'm a little homesick. I was ready to go. Thank God. Thank you, sister. Can I have another person who says, I know about that fire. I'm not saying you're a saint. I'm not. Well, we all are saints. And I'm not asking to say, oh, that you're perfect. But do you know what it's like?
Since you opened it up to that.
Good.
I recall when I was a young fella in this place, I was seeking for the baptism. And by the way, I'm so glad that some of our people, our young people from church, are seeking for that experience of being infilled with the Holy Spirit. It's a very vital thing, and we don't hear enough about it. I remember when I was even younger than I was about to say, when Elsie Summers' brother had the young people in Ridgewood, and in those days, they would, now I'm not saying this was a good idea, but they go around, did you receive the baptism? Did you receive it? And you know, that's sort of embarrassing when you have not had the experience. And as I say that, I don't think that's a very wise thing to do. But he was on fire himself, and he wanted young people to experience it. But I remember I would be seeking for the baptism, and I didn't, but somehow I just found it so difficult. So difficult. And I remember the Brother Gardner and Sister Caroline, who you've heard about, they'd come at in this place, and they prayed for me, and they knew I was seeking, and couple of years went by, and everyone else seemed to get it. I remember one fella, Richie Fogel, who has been here. He was, in those days, thankfully, the groundsmen do not have to do what he did. In those days, we had, where the parking lot is now, we had the wet garbage pits. Now Brother Tom's crew can take that all to the dump. But in those days, I believe we burned the dry garbage, and the wet garbage was in the wet garbage pits by the parking lot, as I said. And it was really quite disgusting and smelly. And every so often you had to put lime in there and take a shovel and mix it up. And someone had to do that. And so Richie Fogel was around 16, my age, and he was chosen that day to do the garbage pit duty. And of course, we all teased him and had a good time that Richie followed. Well, he was just the type that you could tease. He just was ripe for teasing. And but he did it that day. But he did it, he later said he did it with a joyful heart. And that night, the Lord baptized him, sitting right where Sister Aletha is.
Thank God.
I'm not saying the Lord did it because of the garbage incident, but He saw his heart. And sometimes the Lord just has to see our heart, that we really want it. And the Lord has to see that we have clean hands and pure hearts. And whatever it was that I needed, it didn't happen like I expected it to. I wondered if I was going to be sitting in a meeting and then, like so many people, suddenly But like our sister Inge said, the Lord just comes. We don't know how he's going to come. But it happened when I was coming back. I guess it was around 17 at that time. I was on the elevated train in Jamaica. And I had to walk to the bus station from the train. And as I went through this smelly old pizza place, in those days I didn't like pizza, as I walked through that place, suddenly the Lord just came to me. I didn't speak in tongues, but I knew he was filling me with his Holy Spirit. It was an unusual experience. And I questioned it, but I knew it was so real that the Lord had indwelt me. I just knew it. There was no doubt in my mind, but I wondered why tongues weren't there. Because I thought that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. But not long after, I was sitting in the prayer room. In those days, we had retreats. Brother Keith mentioned the winter program. And I remember once I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the tongues came without my realizing it. It wasn't like a huge barn fire, but the Lord came, and that was the fire that I have experienced ever since. But you know, we don't have to be satisfied with it.
That's right.
A one-time experience. Quite recently, a couple of years ago, there was something that was in my, a need I had, and the Lord refilled me, also very quietly, but that was a fire, that he set that fire in me. And I'm thankful that we can experience that fire upon the altar continuously. It's not just a one-time experience, although I do urge you young people to go after God, seek him where he may be found. And this is a good place. Pilgrim Camp is a good place. Amen. This is where he can be found, and he will be found if you seek with him after your whole heart. But I'm thankful that it's something that we can experience, we older ones who have experienced it. God wants to continually fill us. He wants to make that Word of God alive in us as we read his Word. It's a wonderful thing. And so I'm thankful for that fire that the Lord sends, the fire upon the altar.
Amen. Amen. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. We need the Holy Spirit. And I know, sometimes I feel like what I'm doing is just getting, you know, the old-fashioned way of starting a fire. Not like this morning, a little bit, but, you know, getting some wood and rubbing it together and saying, yeah, I know what that song's talking about, the fire falling on the altar, you know? I was hoping for more stories of how God touched you. And I liked what Brother Paul said. It's not just a one-time experience. It's the beginning of God getting a hold of us. And I like to just mention it once in a while. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit. We need that touch from God. We need him. You know, we use that word baptized or to be filled with the Spirit. We need to open our hearts and say, Lord, here I am. I'm willing for you to just have your way with me. It's so important. And that's why when I was singing, we were singing this together about God's fire falling upon the altar, I felt someone ought to say something about this. Someone ought to share. So I thank you for doing that. I was filled with the Holy Spirit right in that corner during a men's retreat. And I'm just going to tell you real quick what happened. I was up here during the winter retreat, during the winter program, and I remember feeling so inadequate to be here. I wasn't. I never spoke in tongues, and I didn't feel like I was ever baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I thought to myself, maybe, you know, Lord, you love the Baptists, and that's me. You know, I'm just going to be there. And I came from a very, very good Pentecostal church, but I thought, well, that's... And I remember when I was in my room over there in Shepherd's Cove, a knock came on the door. No, rather, it was Mercy. A knock came on the door, and it was Reverend Gardner, And here's midwinter, and Reverend Gardner, he had trouble walking sometimes on regular pavement, let alone snow and ice. And he was there with his, he had a Russian cap on, and he knocked, and I opened the door, and it was Brother Gordon, and he said, "Let's go for a walk." That's what I always wanted to do. Let's go for a walk with Brother Gardner. But we went for a walk, and he said, "Keith, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I hemmed and hawed. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I said, "Well, no." And, you know, they began to pray for me. Now, I want to just mention this. They prayed for me every meeting. And that was rough, because it seemed like I became the focus of every meeting. You know, it was like, let's sing number 50. Oh, and by the way, let's pray for Keith. And you know what happens? The more that they do that, the more you just start thinking about yourself, right? And I was saying, well, the next meeting, it's going to be somewhere in there. They're going to be praying for Keith. But they were also praying outside the meetings for me. But here's the wisdom of the Lord. This is what, see, we're all different. And what Keith needed was someone to goad him along. That's what I needed. And so I started earnestly on my own saying, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit." And I kept waiting for some kind of experience to happen, and it never did. Until I was in a men's retreat, and God just filled me with His Holy Spirit in such a mighty way. And I, you know, we all can have that fire fall upon the altar. And you could call it what you want. But it's just, "Lord, here I am." And so I thought we ought to mention it tonight. And that's why I interrupted this song. That we recognize that there is a fire that God wants to send and on our hearts. And you know, it's not just for the other person or somebody that's more earnest. It's for every one of us. For all of us. And you can't earn it. You know, and it's by His grace. You need to receive it, right? Say, "Here I am, Lord." So why don't we start that song that I rudely interrupted and start it again and take some faith and say, "Lord, send the fire in my heart. If you're willing for it, I know He won't disappoint us." So let's sing that third verse, shall we? Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him.
Blood has washed away.
Oh, Father, our hearts are hungry for what your Son has provided for us. Lord, we ask that you'll help us. Meet us where we are. Oh, God, we pray that by the grace that you've poured out through the Holy Spirit, you'll open up these sometimes shut-up hearts of ours and fill us with yourself. Oh, God, Lord, we need a fresh anointing. Lord, we need you to just pour out that oil of the Holy Spirit upon us. Move in us, we pray. Oh, Lord, we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Oh, God, do, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise you, Lord God. Oh, we worship you, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you. Praise you, Lord, oh God. Thank you, dear Jesus. Wonderful, Lord.